We're holding Tana Dveliyol, the first chapter, and this is the sixth paragraph. We had seen explanations in the verse, Yamim Yutzaru, days were created, days were fashioned, Velo Echad Bahem, and God took one of them aside to himself. And we had seen that the Medrash explained it could mean the day of Shabbat, the day of Yom Kippur, and today we're going to see another understanding in this verse. Davar acher, yamim yutzaru velo echad bahem. What day is this referring to? Ze Yom Gog. This is the day of Gog. La'atid lavo, in the future that will come. What is the day of Gog? So we have a class on Friday, in which we study the Rambam's introduction to the 10th chapter in Sanhedrin. And over there we're studying the different concepts of Olam Haba, La'atid Lavo, Tchiyat HaMeitim. What is the day of Gog? So the Psukim in Tehillim describe that there will be a day of war, a great war with Gog and Magog. It's not only in Tehillim, it's also in the Nevi'im. What is Gog Magog? So we don't know what Gog Magog is. There are midrashim that seem to say that Gog Magog will be a time when all the nations of the world will unite against Israel, and there'll be a world war, the whole world against us, and we'll come close to being destroyed, and then God will intervene. But first, all the nations will attack and unify in their attack, and you'll have the nations coming to the gates of Jerusalem. The nations will succeed in conquering the land of Israel up until Jerusalem. So when they approach and they're about to completely destroy the Jewish people, then Hashem intervenes. Hashem says He will intervene, and we don't know how many Jews will survive on that day. There are different interpretations of different prophecies, but someone will survive, and then God will take on the nations of the world. Gog u'Magog. So Gog is Gimel Vav Gimel, right? That's a 3 and 6 and 3. That's 12. Magog is Mem, 40. Gimel is 3. What? 52. 52 plus 12 is 64. Plus the Vav, Gog u'Magog, is 70. The 70 nations of the world. People have been trying to understand when this is going to be and trying to interpret when it was. During the Holocaust, many people want to believe that that was a fulfillment of this prophecy, that you had a world war and the Jews were being wiped out. People wanted to say that it's going to be George Bush and the 52 states. I want to say Gog is George, Magog is the gematria of the states. Okay, say whatever you want. Time will tell. So,
huh?
I don't know. So the Medrash says, Dvarim Yamim Yutzaru, God fashioned all the different days and He kept one of them. That's the day of Gog and Magog in the future. This world is like a master, he hires workers, and he looks at his workers to see which worker is working truthfully, which one is doing it because he really wants to do what he's asked to do. Shenemar, as the verse states, Einei Hashem hima meshotetim bechol haaretz. The eyes of Hashem, they so to speak, drift throughout the land, and they see how each person is doing. Echad she'oseh la'amito ve'echad she'eino oseh la'amito. Whether a person is doing something truthfully or not. We have a tradition that Echad ha'marbe ve'echad ha'mamit. If a person does more, if a person does less, God says, what I want to see is his heart connected with me. Every person has to strive to do the most. But what's important at the core of all our actions is where our heart lies. And we will see tonight that everything we learn will be connected. We're starting with Tanit Ve'eliyo. What we're going to learn in Yigesh Rav Shira Gaon is going to be connected to that, and what we learn in the book of Shmuel is going to be connected to everything. So let's remember the concepts we discussed now, because we're going to see, I didn't set this up, but as I was preparing tonight's class, I saw there's an interesting thread that runs through all the classes we're going to have. So God says, I look at when people do truthfully or not, and our sages said, even if you can't do things 100% truthfully, do it. A person should learn Torah, even if initially he's not learning it for the proper, with the proper intent. Nonetheless, if he starts, so then ultimately he'll move forward and he will have the proper intent. Yeah. Mishnah says in Brachos that we begin with the parsha of Shema and then go into Vayam Shemoa, because a person should first accept Ol Malchus Shemayim and then accept Ol Mitzvos. But that's not exactly connected to what we're doing. So if you don't mind, let's leave that. This Thursday we have a full class. What? Well, at the core, obviously, a person has to perform Mitzvos because he knows God commanded him. But it takes time for people to do them really lishma. So we say initially a person should do something even if it's not lishma, and out of that he will ultimately reach the level where it is lishma. So God says, I'm looking and I'm seeing how everyone's performing. Hakol mitukan lefanav lasuda. Everything's set up for the meal. God's waiting to pay back for what everyone does. Lefichach nitchayvu mot olam. And therefore the nations of the world were found faulty, lishatef, to be wiped out, v'le'avet, to be lost, v'le'red li'geinom, to go down into perdition. Why? Al she'shalchu yad b'Yisrael, for they extended their hand against the Jewish people, u'v'Yerushalayim and Jerusalem, u'v'Bet HaMikdash in the temple. And now the Medrash is going to focus on the nations of the world. Notice that the Medrash began with the day of Gog, expanded to the fact that God looks at everyone, described how God gives payback for those who do what's right, and now, in relation to the day of Gog, the Medrash is going to expand on what's going to be the payback for those who have destroyed the Jewish people and destroyed Jerusalem and the temple. Now, the Navi says, God says, I sent the nations to destroy Jerusalem. Later tonight, we're going to see a Gemara that describes how God took a hand in the destruction of Jerusalem. God forewarned the Jewish people that Jerusalem would be destroyed, and God sent the nations as his messengers and said, go destroy Jerusalem. When Sanherib, the Assyrian king, has conquered the 10 tribes, and he proceeds and he lays siege on Jerusalem during the kingdom of Chizkiyahu. 10 tribes have been exiled. We have the Judean kingdom remaining. The Israel kingdom of the north has been exiled. This is the period of the first temple, when we have 2 kingdoms in the land of Israel, 2 Jewish kingdoms in the land of Israel, one called Yehuda, Judea, another one Israel, Israel. The 10 tribes have been exiled, and he proceeds to the city of Jerusalem, and he sends his general, and the general is a Jew who had betrayed the Jewish people and gone over to Sanherib's side. And that Jew, Rabshakeh, calls out to the Jews and he says, what, you think I came here on my own? God sent us here. God wants the city destroyed. God has given everything else in our hands. God wants this city destroyed as well. There is some truth in what he's saying. There was a decree in heaven to have Jerusalem destroyed, but not yet. Had they done things differently, as we will see later tonight, then Jerusalem would have been destroyed on that day. And God accepted our prayers, and the destruction was delayed by a few generations. But the nations, when they came to destroy Jerusalem, they said, we're God's messengers. God sent us here. And God says, Yeah, but you didn't have to do it the way you did. I wanted you to destroy to an extent. I wanted you to be my staff to, with which to punish the Jewish people. But you guys went too far. You didn't have to destroy the city of Jerusalem the way you did. You didn't have to destroy the temple. And that's why I will take you to task. We're going to learn in the book of Melachim that there was a kingdom, the family of Ahav. They were kings, and they were very sinful. They served idols. And God sent the prophet to anoint Yehu, and the prophet anointed Yehu, Elio anointed Yehu, and he told Yehu, go wipe out Ahav's family, kill all of Ahav's family. And after Yehu kills all of Ahav's family, Yehu himself starts serving idols. First, Yehu destroys the idol worship from the land, and then a short time later, he himself and his family start serving idols. And then God sends a prophet, and he tells Yehu, you're going to pay for your idol worship, and you're going to pay for killing Ahav's family. So we could understand why he's going to pay for the idol worship. But what did he? Why should he pay for killing out Ahav's family? The prophet told him, go kill Ahav's families. That's what he did. The answer is that the prophet told him, go kill Ahav's family and establish a righteous kingdom. The second he didn't fulfill the second half of his commandment, to establish a righteous kingdom, he had no right to fulfill the first half of the commandment. In establishing a kingdom which was filled with idol worship, he showed that when he killed Ahav's family, he did it because he wanted to establish his own kingdom, not because he was God's messenger. He had no right to do that. He had a right as God's messenger to wipe out Ahav's family. And that's why the prophet tells him, you will pay for your idol worship, and you will also pay for the fact that you killed out Ahav's family. And that's what's happening here. The nations are going to be taken to task over the fact that they destroyed the Jewish people and Jerusalem and the temple, even though initially they were sent to do that. But when they went too far, they showed that their destruction was not as messengers of God, but rather as people who hated the Jewish people. Teda lechach shuuchen, the Medrash says. You know that it's so, k'sheban Nebuchadnezzar melech bavel, hikif t'Yerushalayim. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, came and surrounded Jerusalem. Vayumot ha'olam eshivin v'omrim befechad, and the nations of the world said, why are they unifying this God? We're about to destroy his house. Why did we think that this God is so great? Why did we honor him? We've conquered his city. We've conquered his holy place of rest. So when the nations entered, they showed that, oh, it's not as messengers of God, but rather, what's God worth if we could enter his temple and destroy it? So the heavenly voice answered them, Shotim Shebaolam, fools of the world. Till this point, you've done nothing to deserve to go down into perdition. Some understand this, that the heavenly voice was saying, till now you showed you were doing my service. The second you react like that, so you show you're not doing my service. Another understanding says that it's a rhetorical question. You've done so many bad things until now that you deserve to go down. You had to add this to the list. Alotasha Omer, regarding that hour, the prophet says, Bosha imechem meot chafa yoladchem. Your mother should be embarrassed, the one who bore you should be shamed greatly. Keshem shem ayum mitasvim keilim uvayim levazbez mamunam shel Yisrael. God says, just as you gathered and you had many volunteers to come and loot the wealth of the Jewish people, kach HaKadosh Baruch Hu me'asef otam nidon al arei Yisrael, so to Hashem gathers them, where they will ultimately be judged on the mountains of Israel, lasot behem nekamot tolot, to take out great vengeance, ala shalosh amud divrei Torah, that they didn't listen to the words of the Torah, val dvar asher inu et Yisrael, and for the affliction that they gave to the Jewish people, shneemar, v'ketzef gadol nikotzef, asher ani katzafti ma'at, lehem azru lera'a. God says, I will be greatly angered with the nations, for I was angry a little bit. I wanted the Jews to be punished, but they went too far. This is a verse in the beginning of Zechariah. Zechariah is one of the 12, the Trei Asar. And this is one of the sources for why the nations are going to be taken to task over what happens when we're in exile. On the one hand, God sent us to exile. God put us under the nations. But God says, I want you to punish them the minimum. You did the maximum. Yeah?
But what if they had punished us to the extent that God wanted them to punish us?
then they would have gotten reward.
But they didn't do it because God told them to. Because how would they know that God told them to punish us if they didn't have prophets?
We see that they did know. When we learn the Gemara about it, you'll see one example of how they did know. There are many examples of how they knew. Each one knew in a different way, but they did know. They knew they were messengers of God.
They did have prophets.
There's not that. God says, I will do with great anger vengeance onto the nations that didn't listen. And the prophet in Zechariah describes how all the nations will gather upon Jerusalem, and then Hashem will go out and fight them single-handedly. So this is a medrash which we explained one way. There are many ways to understand this medrash. Whenever we discuss things that will happen in the future, no one knows exactly what it means. Maybe some people do, I don't. And going through the commentaries, I saw that the commentaries on this medrash differ greatly. There are different understandings. So we took one understanding. But at least we've been exposed to the idea of a day in which the nations will attack the Jewish people, and the day in which God will stand for the Jewish people, as we will see in the prophet Zechariah when we get there.